Dish TV is better than cable TV. Why? Because you can save 45% on packages compared to your high-priced cable bill. Wow. Take those giant scissors out and cut the cable and save with Dish TV. Plus, you get a free DVR upgrade to record your favorite shows and free installation. And with Dish Anywhere, you can watch TV for free on your mobile device. Act fast. You can save hundreds of dollars. Does your cable company do that for you? Get all the best TV programming at your fingertips at a fraction of the price of cable TV. So say adios, arrivederci, goodbye to the high cable bill, and save up to 45% on Dish TV packages today. These are limited time offers and can change at any time. Call fast. 800-405-2561. 800-405-2561. 800-405-2561. That's 800-405-2561.
Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Fascinating.
For over 30 years and still, your inside look into boxing and mixed martial arts.
What the hell's going on out here?
Heard live around the world and brought to you by the World Boxing Organization.
Yeah.
And now, live from the Ring Talk Studios in San Francisco, here's the host of the longest-running fight show in history.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! And Foreman is as poised as can be!
Pedro Fernandez.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos! Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sports Byline Broadcast Network presentation of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. This is hour number two, of course, to come to you at 11 a.m. Pacific time. This is the 12 o'clock p.m. Pacific time show. Of course, that's 3 o'clock in the East. Bottom line is, 2 hours of Ring Talk Live Worldwide starts at 11 a.m. Pacific time each and every Sunday right here on the mighty Sports Byline Broadcast Network. Straight up, we'll be talking the UFC, the world of mixed martial arts, and, of course, boxing this hour. And maybe if we get some time, we'll go back and hear from the most disrespected champion probably of all time because he had to hang around Muhammad Ali. He was Muhammad Ali's foil. Of course, we'll talk about Smoking Joe Frazier. Of course, a guy that I didn't give a whole lot of credit to because I was such an Ali fan. But the bottom line is, without Ali and without Ali and George Foreman, Joe Frazier was knocking everybody dead. Of course, Joe Frazier passed away a couple years ago of liver cancer in the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia. I hope they got a statue there that's bigger than the Rocky statue, because that was always my problem when I went to Philly. Well, they had a picture of, they had a big statue of Sylvester Stallone, but not Joe Frazier. Wait, Stallone was Rocky, like Rocky Balboa, that guy, the movie guy. They got this big statue of him downtown. No statue of Joe Frazier. Pretty cuffed. Anyway, bottom line is I think they're trying to rectify that as I speak to City Council. You are tuned in to Mighty Sports Byline Broadcast Network. Open phone lines around the planet. This is your show. If you like, you can join in. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. The convenient, no hassle, guilt-free, no commitment text line. You can text us here in the studio, Johnny Single, myself. The text number, 415-275-1613. That's 415-275-1613. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, often imitated, but never duplicated.
To win your love for me. How can I make?
Here comes the decision now. Let's listen.
Clarity in the world of professional boxing is spelled WBO. That's right, the World Boxing Organization is boxing's only transparent, sanctioned body. You can follow the WBO on Facebook or check out their website, WBOboxing.com. That's WBOboxing.com. The World Boxing Organization. Listen up, Amazon Prime members. For a limited time, you can start an Audible account and start an Audible membership and save like 2/3 on your first 3 months, right? $30 off is like getting 3 months for the price of one. Check it out. Offer expires July 31st. Check it out, audible.com/ring. $4.95 a month for the first 3 months. That's only $14.95 a month. Straight up, pretty good deal. No doubt about that. The offer expires July 31st. Check it out, audible.com/ring.
At 28, I had struggled with opiate and meth addiction for 12 years. I did and said things that the sober me never would have done. One day I realized I was not invincible. I was not exempt. And that's when a friend told me about Elite Rehab Placement. They gave me the tools I needed to get sober, and all it took was the one phone call.
Elite Rehab can help you start to break your addiction problem and get sober in as little as 7 days. And we'll work with your insurance provider to help cover the costs. Plus, we have travel assistance programs to get you here by plane or train. Make this free call right now to learn more.
800-403-5912. 800-403-5912. 800-403-5912. That's 800-403-5912.
It's summertime once again, which means pool parties, barbecues, and relaxation, but it also means home projects, which aren't much fun. So why not let Home Advisor take them off your hands? From minor repairs to major remodels, Home Advisor will connect you with top-rated pros in your area, letting you get back to summer fun. The pros have been reviewed by your neighbors so you can see what others thought of their work. And if you're not sure how much your project should cost, get multiple quotes from pros and use Home Advisor's Project Cost Guide to see what others paid for similar projects. And to top it all off, you can book appointments online. No more phone tag. Home Advisor makes it beyond easy to get your home projects done. So don't wait. Get those projects done now and make the most of your summer. To find the right pro at a fair price, just ask Home Advisor. Go to homeadvisor.com or download the free award-winning Home Advisor app today.
Now, back to Pedro Fernandez with the MMA Hour.
You don't need Viagra to get up for boxing of late. You just don't. I mean, the heavyweight champ of the world getting drilled like he did a fortnight ago. I'm talking about Anthony Joshua, 2012 Olympic gold medalist. He was like the next coming of God, so said Pedro and everybody else. And guess what? He got destroyed. Andrew Ruiz destroyed him. Okay, that's just the way it goes. Boxing's up and it's down. Of course, the lower divisions, guys coming alive. Maybe Teofimo Lopez didn't look like the rage that I thought he was in that last fight. But anytime you fight a guy that's 6'1", if you don't knock him out, it's probably not going to be a pretty win down the stretch on points. This is the way it goes. But last night, of course, Gervonta Davis stepping up to the plate, man, getting in shape, realizes, as Johnny Sigg said in hour number one, that there's potential superstar status for him if he were to get his act together and stop acting like just a jive dude. And I don't mean that in any racial pun at all. It's just too much smoke and not enough Gervonta. But last night, of course, there was a lot of Gervonta stopping his opponent in the second round. Got to give him props for that. At 130 pounds, it looks live at 130. It looks live at 126. It looks live at 135. Of course, Lomachenko, Vasyl Lomachenko, the main guy at 135, or is he? He's 13-1. I mean, basically, I think he's like a boxing god. I'm on the same page with Bob Arum on this one. I think he's like the best boxer going out there. I mean, he's amazing. He can finish guys. Hector Martinez says he chips away on guys like he's got a hammer and a chisel in his hand. It's like they're a statue. He just chips away at you little by little by little by little. And before you know it, after three or four rounds, there's nothing left to you. He's chipped you away. I'm talking about Vasyl Lomachenko, of course, two-time world amateur champion. And now the WBO, WBA, like 1,000 different titles. He wants all the belts at 135. He wants them all. But so does Mr. Lopez. Teofimo Lopez seems like he's the real deal. He says he's willing to step in with Mr. Lomachenko. Of course, now Lomachenko's taking on a guy by the name of Luke Campbell. Now, for Luke Campbell's background, we take it to Las Vegas and bring in the undefeated lad, Johnny Signorelli. Johnny, tell me about Mr. Campbell.
Well, he's tall, and Lomachenko will deal with Teofimo Lopez dealt with when he fought recently, fighting a taller opponent and having some difficulty. Lomachenko, though, is an exceptional athlete and gives great angles and hand speed. I don't think it'll be that much of a problem, especially considering Luke Campbell's record of 20-2, 16 KOs. No disrespect, but he hasn't really fought anyone. I think Lomachenko gets past this guy rather easily.
Did rate Teofimo Lopez's performance against Takani?
All things considered, I'm going to have to go 7. You know, he was fighting a taller opponent. Teofimo was trying to go for the knockout, forcing things, overextending his shots, missing greatly. Didn't look as good and as posed and professional as we've seen him recently. But then again, he was fighting a guy virtually unknown, also unbeaten and very tall. So I got to go with a 7 there. He's got to fight Richard Comey next, you know, for Teofimo Lopez. Richard Comey is no walk in the park. That's going to be one heck of a fight, I believe. It looks great on paper. And then if he wins that, he gets, or the winner, I should say, of that fight would then get Lomachenko, from what I'm told.
How do you build Lomachenko to a multi-million dollar fighter? I mean, a superstar. How do you do that if he doesn't speak English and he doesn't? How do you do that?
It's really difficult. I mean, they managed to do it with Canelo, who doesn't speak, you know, publicly English. He understands and knows how to speak. He's just not comfortable Mexican, doing it. Though. I think it's the same thing for Lomachenko. You know, the thing is, he's a good-looking guy. He's a spectacular fighter in the ring for Lomachenko. And I would prefer if they did try to have him speak some English, because even if it's broken English, like Triple G, you know, it's cute sometimes when Triple G says things and he's like, I love box, Max, I love box. That's cool, man. You know, you don't really articulate it that well, but we know what he's trying to say. And so we just want to see that effort.
That's pretty funny.
The truth.
Yeah. Triple G, of course, Gennady Golovkin. His future isn't set. He doesn't have an opponent yet, does he?
No, I thought we were going to get Demetrius Andrade. So, I mean, I'm still waiting for an announcement. Someone's got to take that September 14th date, you know, over Mexican Independence Day weekend, which was always a big pay-per-view. Now we're talking about G, who's on DAZN. There's no pay-per-view there. But DAZN needs to push the needle on subscription. You know, they got to get subs. They got to get these guys to come out and fight and get the subscriptions. They signed Triple G and guys like Canelo to push that. So they can't let that date go. He's got to announce something soon.
People are getting hip to DAZN, though. You heard Larry Merchant last night talking about the fights he watched on DAZN. He's got DAZN going in his house. And some people are slow, because I was at a retired boxer's luncheon a couple of weeks ago, Johnny, and I tried to explain the apps to them, and it looked like I was trying to tell them, I'm about to take your Social Security check from you. I kid you not. It's like, I'm going to rape you. I'm going to do all these horrible things to you. You should see the looks on their faces, Johnny. Like, I got to get a computer. I got to get a phone. It was like, whoa. I was like blown away. I just didn't know where to go with that, man.
Hey, I'm younger, and for me, you know, it was intimidating at first until you get them all rocking and rolling on your tablets. You know, you could take it out to the grill. You could hang out on your balcony, smoke some cigars, bring your phone with you. You never have to miss a moment of action, which is incredible. I love that aspect of it, but I can see how that's super confusing. But I loved how Larry's enthusiasm definitely came through in hour number one today. You could hear he is loving boxing right now, and thanks to DAZN and ESPN Plus for making this all happen.
Props go to the WBO, that's my sponsor, folks, and I admit it, WBOboxing.com, for appointing one of their great referees. Talk about Mark Nelson. Of course, his father was a great referee as well. He's retired out in Minnesota, but Mark Nelson pulled the plug exactly when he was in the right position. Him and John Shirley, I think, are two of the referees that go unnoticed, but they're in the right position 99% of the time, and that's how guys don't get hurt.
Position right there. That's the best way to put it. He could see everything that was going on. He could read the trajectory of shots. He saw that Hooker was in a bad way last night against Ramirez, who was just going to keep teeing off. Excellent, perfect textbook stoppage.
So 140 pounds, is there going to be some unification? Can we look for something to happen? I mean, we got two guys unifying here. There's two belts. There's four belts out there. What's happening with the other sanctioning bodies?
World Boxing Super Series at 140. Progre and Taylor in the final. Josh Taylor unbeaten. Regis Progre unbeaten. Great talents there. We'll see what we get. I favor Progre in this fight. I think at some point we're going to get Jose Ramirez and Progre there at 140 pounds. But the thing about Regis is he's starting to get big, getting that man strength, getting that bigger body frame. He goes to 147 soon, I think, but I would love to see that fight, Jose Ramirez. Both guys fight on DAZN.
Interesting. Of course, Jose Ramirez is looking spectacular last night on DAZN. And, you know, he had a majority decision his last fight, I think, in Fresno. And I think they're fighting in front of the hometown crowd, although he draws down there. It has its disadvantages. I keep telling people, man, that my relatives and friends would call me, can you give me a ticket, man? Can you give me a ticket? You know, I'm sitting there dying to make weight. I haven't eaten in like 36 hours. I'm sucking on Kool-Aid ice cubes for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And they're calling me, you got a ticket, man? Got a ticket? Anyway, that's just the way it is. I think the pressure of fighting home
it's unparalleled because people realize, oh, well, you got the hometown crowd. You guess, yeah. And you might get the hometown decision, but you got to go through a lot of hell to get there. Anyway, switching gears, let's talk about the world of mixed martial arts just for a second. I talked about Brian Ortega earlier, and you and I went back and forth on Brian Ortega. Does Brian Ortega come back from that? I just looked at it again. Does Brian Ortega come back from that type of beating? I mean, I don't. I think it's an uncomeback. I think it's one of those non-comebackable beatings.
Life-changing beating. That fight should have been stopped after about the first 5 minutes, maybe somewhere around mid-round two. They kept throwing him back out there. It could be very damaging to him psychologically, neurologically. There's so many factors that come into this. It's not just a brain beating. It's also, you know, he's going to be timid going in there. He suffered, you know, a traumatic experience. And this is no exaggeration, guys. This is why Pedro was so fired up in hour number one. And I'm getting fired up talking about it right now. They're not hitting baseballs. These are kids' lives, you know. And it's really sad and tragic to watch people just allowing their fighter, who they're supposed to care about, go out there and take beating after beating, round after round. Now they're throwing him in there with the Korean zombie, Chan Sung Jung. This guy can fight. Like, yikes, man. So yeah, I got to question the care and consideration here.
But what they want to do is they're thinking that Brian Ortega can take him down. He's not that good on the ground. That's what they're trying to say. So I guess, see, Ortega's a better wrestler. This guy's a better striker. And the way he struck that last time out, he's definitely taking boxing 101. These guys that have taken boxing 101 are the guys that are excelling.
Yes, sir. Francis Ngannou. Check him out.
No, please don't, friend. Listen, folks, if you ever see Francis Ngannou on the street, just turn and walk away. It's really not worth it. It's just, he's not a guy worth dealing with. I wouldn't want to piss that guy off for nothing. I wouldn't want to get into a road rage incident with that guy.
Luckily, he's a very nice guy, man. He's like a teddy bear, but he can fight.
No doubt about that. Johnny Siegel, stay with me. You're tuned to the Mighty Sports Byline Broadcast Network. Open phone lines all around the planet. 1-800. 878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Or the guilt-free, no commitment text line, 415-275-1613. That's 415-275-1613. You're tuned to the Sports by Live Broadcast Network.
If you or a loved one is suffering from a physical or emotional condition that has left you unable to work, then listen carefully. Take this number down. 800-593-7491. That's 800-593-7491. When you call, you'll speak with a Social Security disability expert and get a free evaluation to see if you may qualify for disability insurance benefits from the U.S. government. That's right, a monthly cash payment paid directly to you from the Social Security Administration. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied disability benefits, call now. The disability attorneys at Pinnacle Disability can help you build your case, file an appeal, and represent you at no upfront cost to you. Don't wait another minute to see if you may qualify for your Social Security disability benefits. Call Pinnacle Disability Group at 800-593-7491 for your free case evaluation. That's 800-593-7491. 800-593-7491. Call now.
Not too long ago, it felt good to withdraw your cash from the bank, didn't it? For a vacation or a new car. But today, withdrawing your own cash has become risky. Pat Boone here for Swiss America. According to The Secret War, a new Swiss America white paper, I learned that all banks are now required to spy on you and me for the government and then report any financial behavior deemed suspicious or unusual. You must read The Secret War. It's free. Truth is, I believe the government's new war against cash is really a war against us all. But the secret is now out. So please, get and read The Secret War.
Pick up your phone and call right now. 800-932-5517. 800-932-5517. 800-932-5517. Once again, that's 800-932-5517.
Imagine this is your money and someone wants to take it from you. Who is it? The IRS. They want your money, and guess what? They can legally take it, all of it if they want. Remember, they sent you that letter that said, hey, you owe us a bunch of cash and we're going to take it from you. So what do? Fight back by letting our team of experts at the Tax Helpline work it out with the IRS so you can keep your money. And we're good at what we do. When you hire us, you get a team of guys on your side that know the IRS laws and will fight to save your money. So, if you owe the IRS a ton of cash and you want to keep it, call right now and learn for free how we can help you put it back in your pocket.
800-932-1749. 800-932-1749. 800-932-1749. That's 800-932-1749.
Now, more of the MMA Hour with Pedro Fernandez.
Joined by the undefeated lad from Las Vegas, our very own Johnny Sig. John Signorello, of course, is his full name. That's what it says on his birth certificate and his driver's license. Unfortunately, he has several driver's licenses, much like Mr. Epstein there with the fake passport. Am I right, Johnny? All these aliases or what?
Yeah, man, I got a Jersey license. I got a Vegas license.
Okay, Gervonta Davis. Now, listen, there are guys willing to fight him. I mean, it's not like he's alone. I forget who was just calling him out. But Leo Santa Cruz is willing to step up to 130 and fight him. Of course, Leo Santa Cruz, like 36-1, lost that one fight to Carl Frampton, came back and beat Frampton on a close decision in a rematch. But, you know, in fact, speaking of Mr. The champ, he was Mr. Santa Rosa. He was in San Francisco about 2 weeks ago. I took a picture of him with my buddy Hector. But go on, tell me, Santa Cruz and Davis, they make this fight at 130?
I think it's easy to make because they're both underneath the PBC banner. So that's a definite logical fight for them. There's other guys out there, Miguel Brochette at that weight class, who's very, very good. And, you know, Devin Haney is floating around there around 130, 135. It's going to be interesting, but I think that that's a logical fight. PBC makes that fight, I think.
Ramirez was saying nobody in the WSS, World Boxing Series, anyway, the world, he said that nobody's making the type of money he's making with Top Rank. Is he getting that kind of money?
I think Bob definitely takes care. Bob Arum, the promoter, definitely takes care of these young kids. He loves them. You could see his the way he admires them. Are we talking, I'm sorry, did we say Ramirez there?
Yeah, Ramirez.
Okay, my bad. Is he making money? Last night, I think he got comfortably for that fight on the zone. Absolutely. Nice packed house. Looked good.
Okay, no doubt about that. What do we have to look forward to at 154 pounds? I mean, the junior middleweight division was always like the step in between welterweight and middleweight. And the guys, sometimes they took the title and went to 160. Sometimes they didn't. What's happening at 154 right now in boxing?
I want to get that Charlo-Tony Harrison rematch. All the smack talking that happened in the last press conference. Obviously, Harrison had to pull out from injuries. They fought once. Harrison won. A close but controversial decision taken away. Jermell Charlo's unbeaten record. I'd like to see that at 154. Other than that, really not much going down in that division.
Evidently, Evander Holyfield's kid's going to turn pro. You know, I've always had a problem with the offspring of professional fighters trying to follow in their father or their mother's footsteps or whatever. Because, you know, if your father's a great fighter, the chances of you becoming a great fighter, too, are slim and none. And Slim usually left town.
Simply put, it just doesn't work. Joe Frazier's son, George Foreman's son, Chavez's kid, who had a little bit of success. But I'll never forget when people were seeing him get beat up by Matt Vanda back in the day and Chavez getting beer bottles thrown at him in Mexico. You know, so I knew early on that he was going to have some issues as a pro. It doesn't really work out too successful. Hopefully, in the real deal's case, Mr. Evander Holyfield's son has a good career, successful career.
Speaking of Chavez Jr., he has set up a venue. He's going to set up a fight, I think, in September or something like that, talking about a comeback. I told you the story about him fighting at the Forum, right, where the referee went into the locker room trying to find him to give him pre-fight instructions, and he couldn't find him because he was fornicating in the shower?
Yes, you did. Tell me that.
I mean, you know, that's how disciplined he was. And speaking of, and I'll mention it again, want to mention this guy, I'll rub it in his face. Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. getting robbed in Mexico City by his own homies. That's pretty cold. When you rob, like, the biggest, now Canelo's the biggest athlete in the country, but the second biggest athlete of all time probably in Mexico, Julio Cesar Chavez, that you rob him at gunpoint on a Mexico City corner, that's like, you know, that's disrespectful.
Well, especially, I mean, he was the pride of Mexico forever. You know, one of the biggest fighters of all time from Mexico, in particular in the 80s. And, you know, and then his countrymen, some people turning their back on him and robbing him at gunpoint. Come on.
At gunpoint. Of course, Chavez Jr. now he knows what Pernell Whitaker felt like. Speaking of Pernell Whitaker, of course, passed away. And we ran that clip on him this past couple of shows. Pernell didn't get the props that they deserved because he didn't punch really hard. And I think that. You know, I think that he lacked punching power, but that didn't stop him from winning those fights, man. I think he lost. He was 41-4 as a professional, and he was an amazing, amazing boxer. And as far as being defensively, he was a defensive god. Offensively, he had it going on as far as boxing was concerned. But that fight with Chavez, I told you, I gave my bet money to Jack Tatum, the Hall of Famer, the NFL Hall of Famer, number 32 from the Oakland Raiders. I gave him my money, Johnny. I said, in the 10th round, it's over. Here's my money. And then they called it a draw, and I went back and I got a refund. But he said, you got enough. You got some B-A-L-L-S to come over and ask for your money back when you know that boy got robbed. And he did get robbed, probably one of the greatest heists of all time. In fact, it was such a heist. And Chavez and them knew what time it was. They didn't ask for no rematch.
You know, and it's a shame that Pernell's known mostly for that fight and that robbery. But here's another thing, too. Imagine if they had given him the decision against De La Hoya. That
he spanked De La Hoya, too.
Imagine if he got that decision when De La Hoya was the golden boy, man. Like, he was really the golden boy at that point out of East L.A., you know, lining up girls like a member of the Beatles. Remember, they used to follow his bus around. If he beats De La Hoya, that version of De La Hoya at that point in time, that's his best win. And he's noted for that. And I think that is disrespectful. They didn't give it to him.
Speaking of De La Hoya, talk about a champ between the sheets. When he was accused of some sexual assault or being in touch with some girl like 17 down there in Cancun or something like that, His defense, according to his lawyer, was he's been with 142 women since then, and he's not sure who she is. Oh!
Oh, man. Oh! Talk about a needle in a haystack.
That's Oscar. Hey, ask Paris Hilton where she was June 6, 1996, the night of the Julio Cesar Chavez Oscar De La Hoya fight. Ask Paris where she was. She wasn't shooting old porno on her cell phone, but she was doing porn with Oscar.
Yeah.
Her and Oscar were dancing between the sheets. That's what you know. Let's hey, real quick before we get to the 40 break, let's talk about the upcoming boxing schedule. UFC Fight Pass, I guess that's some type of new channel. They've got a Lou DiBella card going on August 1st. A guy named Legfin Chytrov, 18-2, 15 waxed against Gabriel Pham, 11-1. That's from Monroeville, Pennsylvania. Mike Akery's involved with that one, 8:30 p.m. In the East, 5:30 on the West. Lou DiBella's throwing that show together. Lou DiBella stole or tried to steal Deontay Wilder and take him to the zone. And Al Haymon knew. That's how slick a dude Al Haymon is, that he knew that he allegedly knew that Lou DiBella was playing games on him and that Lou DiBella took his prime star to the zone. And he knew it. And Lou was getting like 8 to 10 TV dates from him a year. And now he's getting nothing, huh?
No, he's on the UFC Fight Pass right now. Dana White's trying to get involved in boxing, wants to become a promoter again. I think he was a failed promoter, Dana White was, at one point in Boston, where he was originally from. But, yeah, I mean, you can't play both sides of the fence in boxing. It doesn't work. You can't work for two different networks and have your cake and eat it, too. Eventually, something's going to blow up in your face, and that's what happened. He got kicked to the curb, and he's slumming right now.
Without Whitey Bulger, we wouldn't have a UFC. Dana White would have stayed in Boston. He would have been a nothing, would have been some hobo. He would have been just a fat, bald guy with a towel around his head telling four-round fighters, hey, kid, you owe me $30 for gym dues. I mean, that's what Dana would be. That's what Dana would be instead of the billionaire that I think he's built himself into. August the 2nd, boxing is going to go down to Comiskey, Florida, of course. Tomar Alamo, 16-0, taking on Miguel Martinez, 14-2. And then the zone comes back on the 2nd. Coming to us from Liverpool, the UK, the home of the Fab Four. Talk about the Beatles. Anthony Fowler taking on Brian Rose. Fowler is 9-1 with 8 KOs, taking on Brian Rose, 31-5-1. But Brian's only got 8 KOs in those 37 fights. It doesn't look too good power-wise for Mr. Rose there.
Nah, not very appealing on paper. I tell you what, though, the next day, August 3rd, New York, Adam Kwasniewski and Chris Arreola, sloppy heavyweight fight that could be really, really entertaining. And I think that goes off on Fox, yeah.
Why sloppy? Why Fox Sports, 8 p.m. in the East, 5 o'clock in the West, coming to us from the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York, home of the Brooklyn Nets, scores Saturday, August the 3rd. It's at 8 p.m. in the East. Kwasniewski, 19 and zip, 15 KOs. Chris Arreola, 38, 5 and 1, 33 KOs. 30 inches. His waist ain't 38 inches. It's bigger than that.
Exactly. That's why I'm saying sloppy. You're going to see some weight. You're going to see some hands flying. You're definitely, I believe you're going to get a knockout here. I don't want to say definitely, but this should be certainly an entertaining fight in the heavyweight division.
10th of August, Frampton, the aforementioned Carl Frampton, comes alive back on ESPN. I guess he's got a contract with Bob Arum. 26 and 2, take on Emmanuel Dominguez, 26, 8 and 2, 18 KOs. Is this a work fight for Frampton?
I believe so, yeah. I think it's a work fight. Keep him busy, keep him relevant, and try to set something up down the stretch.
Okay, the following day, of course, that same day, Saturday the 10th, the theater at Grand Prairie in Texas. That's right, Grand Prairie in Texas. The Zone's going to rock once again with Virgil Ortiz, 13-0, 13 KOs, taking on Antonio Orozco, 28-1, 17 KOs. Is Virgil for real, 13-0, 13 wax?
We'll find out here, because Orozco is definitely a good fighter. Decent enough fighter to put a fighter like that to the test. That's actually a really, really good fight to scout right there.
Okay, and the last fight here, you don't need to scout it, folks, but listen, if you haven't slept in like 3 or 4 months, and you have a crack addiction, or maybe you're a meth freak, this and that, tune in to Showtime on August 17th. So says Johnny Seguin. Clarissa Shields fight. She's 9-0 with 2 knockouts. That big puncher she is, taking on somebody by the name of Ivana Hazabin, 20-3, 7 KOs. Johnny Sig, we'll talk soon. We'll talk in the close.
Absolutely, brother. Thank you so much.
You're tuned in to Mighty Sports Byline Broadcast. Do I dog Clarissa Shields every damn chance I get? Women's boxing sucks. Why? Because they can't punch. If you don't entertain people, what do you do? Have pillow fights?
Hey, don't hit me. Don't hit me.
That's what it looks like. Unless they put smaller gloves on weaker, less strong women. Can't match them with strength of men. So the bottom line is smaller gloves in women's boxing right away. You're tuned to the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.
Now, let's listen.
Clarity in the world of professional boxing is spelled WBO. That's right, the World Boxing Organization is boxing's only transparent sanctioned body. You can follow the WBO on Facebook or check out their website, WBOboxing.com. That's WBOboxing.com. The World Boxing Organization.
Attention business owners. Now is the perfect time to start saving money on your cable TV bill for your business. We can give you packages with up to 90 great channels and save your business a ton of cash. And if you call right now, you can learn how to get free equipment and free installation. Now you have choices. It's time to start saving money on your cable TV bill for your business. And call today and get 90 channels plus free equipment and free installation. Smart business owners like you all across the country are consolidating and saving money on their cable TV, internet, and phone service for their business. So now's the perfect time. This may be a limited time offer to the first 100 people that call right now. So please save money and call now.
800-470-7113. 800-470-7113. 800-470-7113. That's 800-470-7113.
Listen up, Amazon Prime members. For a limited time, you can start an Audible account and start an Audible membership and save like 2/3 on your first 3 months, right? $30 off is like getting 3 months for the price of one. Check it out. Offer expires July 31st. Check it out, audible.com/ring. $4.95 a month for the first 3 months. That's only $14.95 a month. Straight up, pretty good deal. No doubt about that. The offer expires July 31st. Check it out, audible.com/ring.
It's not marijuana. It's CBD. No prescription, 100% legal and available to sports listeners. Some CBDistillery.com. Here's the facts when it comes to CBD or cannabidiol. The reported health benefits can be very, very compelling. CBD, the potent compound extracted from the hemp version of cannabis, you may associate it with weed, but there is a difference. CBD may offer many of the health and wellness benefits, but without the high, and it's legal. You know, where you buy your CBD supplements online is very important. CBDistillery.com is the online source. Go online, read some of the reviews from over 17,000 customers about the health and wellness benefits you can acquire from CBD. Whether you're exploring CBD for current health concerns or long-term wellness, find your answers at CBDistillery.com. That's CBDistillery.com.
Now, back to Pedro Fernandez with the MMA Hour.
We'll find out tonight how much the Ali fight took out of Frazier, if anything. And we'll find out tonight just how good George Foreman is in punching and in taking a punch. I think he hurt Joe Frazier. I think Joe is hurt. Angie Dundee, Ali's trainer, right next to me is saying it. You may hear him. Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! The heavyweight champion is taking the mandatory eight count, and Foreman is as poised as can be in a neutral corner. He is as poised as can be. We have a minute left in this first round, and already this fight is proving out what some have expected. Oh, that left is getting in there. Underneath, Archie Moore is yelling to Foreman. We've got the excitement here that we look for. Frazier is dazed. He is getting hit again and again and again. The same head that was hit so often by Muhammad Ali. Frazier is dazed. You see the countdown for the first round. Foreman has not panicked. Foreman is going about his job. Foreman is all over Joe Frazier. Frazier is down again, and he may be. No, he is rising. He is game. He doesn't know where he is. The mandatory eight count. He doesn't know where he is. Now the round is about to end. Two knockdowns in the first round of Joe Frazier. Down again. No saving by the bell.
Smoking Joe Frazier, 1964 Olympic gold medals. People don't realize that. Yeah, he was the best in the amateurs as well. And I remember what he said about the amateurs that you know, there were a lot of guys over there in decent shape, but not too many guys could fight. They didn't know how to fight. In other words, they could box a bit, you know, like statues and that. But Joe could fight. Joe was from Philly, no doubt about that. And of course, that drubbing you took at the hands of George Foreman there, January 22nd, 1973, he didn't want to give Muhammad Ali the rematch. So instead, he went with Foreman for like a lot less money and got lit up like a White House Christmas tree. Because Joe was upset. Joe was upset that Ali said a few things after the first fight. You know, if you look at that first fight, it was 15 rounds of heavyweight mayhem, no doubt about that. And of course, Ali was really hurt in the 11th round, probably rattled a bit in the 12th, but definitely dropped in the 15th round. But he came back in that round as well. But what I'm trying to tell you is that I still think that Muhammad Ali won enough rounds in that Joe Frazier fight on March 3rd, 1971 to win that fight. It's just the way it was. They were scoring that fight on the rounds basis that night in New York City at Madison Square Garden. I thought that Ali won definitely enough. Even though he played around and played some games, he definitely won enough rounds. But Joe Frazier, always a foil to Muhammad Ali. You know, that really had to be tough. So let's listen to what Joe had to say about Ali towards the end.
I've raised 10 kids, and there's always one child who can take a joke and another who can't. Muhammad could say something and just tick Frazier off, and Muhammad would be smiling about it.
It was like voices coming in his head. And I couldn't tell you who he's coming from, because I don't know. But therefore, if you ain't got something right to say to me, then you better keep me quiet. Because I'm going to peel off and hit you. Because it's just nothing me to do but just walk straight, walk right.
Look at you, you're losing. You lost three rounds already. Come on, Leon, hit you four times. This worries a man.
Muhammad said, never feel sorry for me. He said, I'm great. But, you know, maybe he may not feel bad, but the guy that fought him do, because you see what he's going through.
He put it on the line, brother. The representation that he gave to the black community will never be forgotten. matter what.
I am the greatest.
It's just sad because, you know, it's sad because, you know, he's a great guy and hoping that maybe he could, like, live the kind of life that we live, you know. I'd love to see him do that. You know, because he earned that.
You know, we'd be in Philly doing fights, and Joe would always show up at the, no matter where it was, with the Spectrum. I remember that one night I was broadcasting from the Spectrum doing Ring Talk Live worldwide, and the Spectrum, the people in the Philadelphia Spectrum, had no idea I was there doing the show ringside. It was a Don King production, of course, Mike Tyson taking out Buster Mathis in fight number two of his comeback after jail. But here I am doing Ring Talk Live ringside, and the lights go out in the entire arena. All the power went out except for what I was using there ringside. That was it. So I had to crawl my way out of the arena in order to find it. Anyway, bottom line is, Philly would not be Philly boxing-wise without Joe Frazier. I mean, Bernard Hopkins, he followed in Joe Frazier's footsteps, you know. And as I said, Joe just doesn't get the credit that he deserves. Born in 1944, you know, Larry Merchants went into depth how he came from South Carolina. He was a poor guy, and you know, he built himself up, and he was a four-round fighter. He talked about fighting for like $3 or $4 in his first fight, and Convention Hall in Philadelphia turned pro back in 1965 against Woody Goss. Of course, Woody Goss would forever be known in history as the first opponent against Joe Frazier. And, of course, Joe had some memorable events, knocking out, taking care of Jerry Corey, making him retire. I mean, say, guess what, Jerry? Can't go any further with me. I'm the champ. Jimmy Ellis made him retire. Knocked out Bob Foster. Won over Muhammad Ali. Bought a guy by the name of Terry Daniels and Ron Sander after the Ali fight. But then, you know, why did Joe fight such subpar opposition after the Ali fight? Because he was in the hospital for over a month, and he took a lot of punishment. And he probably should have never fought again after that first fight. I mean, that's how much punishment that Joe Frazier took, of course, on March the 8th, 1971, when he faced that 31-0 Muhammad Ali. That was a fight of the century, no doubt about that. But what I allude to Joe Frazier about was he couldn't beat George Foreman. Just couldn't beat him. Didn't have the style. I mean, George was a bigger man, a brute of a man. He was able to punch down on Joe. Joe would try to bob and weave underneath. And when he did that, George threw uppercuts. Like he knocked out Michael Moran in 1995 to come back and win the heavyweight championship at the age of like 90. Okay, so George was special, no doubt about that. But when they fought again in 1976 in the rematch, it was a little sad, and I was hoping to send myself, you know, maybe Joe's done. So Joe gets beat up. I get stopped in 2 or 3 rounds, and he quits, and that's it. So Joe Frazier, no more running around. I mean, no more boxing. He's running around Philadelphia doing the gym thing, and I told you he ran that gym like a Gestapo agent. He just did. I mean, depending on the mood Joe was in. I've been to that gym several times. Calvin Grove told me that time when Joe got pissed off, and he cleared the gym in prime time. In other words, guys that were sparring in the gym didn't get a chance to go back to their lockers and get their wallet and that kind of good stuff. No, you were leaving the arena right now. This is the way Joe was. Joe had his ups and his downs. Anyway, that Floyd Cummings fight, which I'm alluding to, in 1981, I remember being in almost tears. I was working at Central Police Station. I was a recruit policeman here in San Francisco, working at Central Police Station, working the midnight watch. And I just got Jack Fisk's 10 o'clock column on the San Francisco Chronicle, got the early morning newspaper, the late night newspaper for the following day, and it showed that Joe Frazier had a draw with Floyd Cummings, and he went down and this and that. And I saw a picture of him, and he looked all fat, and he was bald and this and that. And this wasn't the Joe Frazier I want to remember. So I decided you try to erase that memory from my head, okay? And then, of course, the good times around them. International Boxing Hall of Fame, the fights in Philly, couple fights in Chicago. Ernie Terrell was there, of course. Ernie, the big cat that fought Muhammad Ali back in, what, 65 or 66, and Ali beat him really like a trail horse, man, because he wouldn't call him Muhammad Ali. He kept calling him A. Cassius Clay. Anyway, I saw Joe, of course, when he was working the Vaughn Bean Corner. That wasn't the prettiest side of Joe Frazier, but he was never a mean or malicious man. When he said some stuff that was stupid, it wasn't because he was stupid. He wasn't the smartest guy in the world. It was that he was drunk. Joe had a severe drinking problem. Ran over his own feet. In fact, one of his foot got like chopped off, and then he chopped off a toe or two. Ran the electric lawnmower, or the gas-powered lawnmower, pulled it back too far over his foot. You know that happens when you drink. Driving down the wrong way of a one-way street in Philadelphia, of course, the cops looked the other way on that one, didn't call him on to do so. Joe got his share of passes. Passed the age of 67, of course, in 2011 of liver cancer. Maybe that was related to his alcohol intake. But at the end of the day, he was Muhammad Ali's foil. And it just wasn't fair. It just wasn't fair to Joe Frazier. And I guess somebody, you know, I was at a party yesterday, and I like to crack jokes. I mean, I used to do that stand-up comedy Johnny Taco thing. You remember that back in the day. Anyway, I like to crack jokes. But for every joke you have to crack, somebody has to be the butt of the joke. And that's what Joe Frazier was, the butt of every Muhammad Ali joke. And it just didn't work for him. And I feel for him. And I just really do. I mean, because Joe was a good guy. He really was. I mean, 37 pro fights, man. Never quit. Turned pro in 1965 after winning an Olympic gold medal in Tokyo in 1964. People thought he was too small. He wasn't going to be able to do it because he weighed 207, 208 pounds. Heavyweights weren't that big then. Joe Frazier, of course, he was a pretty big heavyweight considering weight-wise. I mean, they weren't weighing 208, 210 because you go back to the Marciano days and Joe Louis and they were in 190 pounds, okay? But Ali, of course, Ali just had to be there. If it wasn't for Ali, Joe Frazier might be like in the Mount Rushmore of boxing. In other words, like those four faces up there. And speaking of Mount Rushmore of boxing, I got to ask Johnny Sig about this in the close. If we had a Mount Rushmore of boxing right now, there would be Muhammad Ali and who else? Who else would we put up there? I ask you listeners of the Sports Byline Broadcast Network to drop me a text on the text line if you can. Who should be on the Mount Rushmore of boxing? Who should be on the Mount Rushmore? Sugar Ray Robinson? Muhammad Ali? Rocky Marciano? I mean, you got to give Marciano props. 49-0, retired undefeated as heavyweight champion. Whether you want to knock his opposition, the fact is the average age of his opponents was 34.8 years. As defending that title at heavyweight championship was concerned, if we really want to knock his opposition or not, the bottom line is he walked away undefeated. Not too many guys have done that. In fact, only hardly anybody's done it, and nobody's done it in the heavyweight division. Joe Calzaghe did it at 168. God bless him. WBO 168-pound champion. You used to see him at all the conventions. But, man, he just said, I've had enough. I'm going to retire. I'm undefeated. They offered him all kinds of money to come back and fight this guy. He wouldn't do it. They offered all kinds of money to come back and fight that guy. He just wouldn't do it. So, you know, money gives guys some money because props, it's professional boxing. I understand that. Money is where it's at. But you also have to take into consideration people's health. And Joe Frazier didn't deserve that last fight with Floyd Cummings. Actually, probably shouldn't have taken that second fight with George Foreman. That was pretty ugly. It was an ugly fight. I remember watching it on TV saying to myself, man, this is just not cool. And, of course, that third fight with Ali, talk about a corner, man. Eddie Futch. I talked earlier in hour number one, a little bit in this hour or two as well, about brave cornermen. How cornermen in the UFC just send their guys out there. Go ahead. I mean, you guys look like he's been beaten with an axe. Looks like he suffered from an axe, you know, he's been attacked by an axe. Go ahead. They send him out. They never throw in the towel. These brave cornermen, they're not taking the ass whoopings. They're not. Brave referees like Hank Alesperu, the guy that let Rico Velasquez die, of course, down there in San Jose, when I went up to him the round before the fight and said, Hank, stop the fight. Kid's going to die. He's dying. You're going to get him killed. And there are people pulling me away from the corner. Jack Fisk was one of them, the aforementioned SF Chronicle boxing writer, the Hall of Famer Jacob Finkelstein. He says, you don't tell a referee what to do. I said, you don't know boxing. This guy's dying. And 40 seconds later, Rico Velasquez was stiff as a board, dead. Sometimes you can see it, sometimes you can't. You are tuned to Ring Talk, live worldwide on Sports Byline. Talking MMA, baby.
You're listening to the MMA Hour.
It has been said that everyone has a book in them, but do you have the time or the ability to write your book? Maybe you picked up some skills or had a life experience that you want to pass on in the form of a book to help others. Maybe you want to leave an autobiography for your family. Or maybe you've built a successful business and you want to share your story. At Dorrance Publishing Company, we have professional writers who can help turn your book idea into a finished manuscript quickly and affordably. A Dorrance ghostwriter can provide as much or as little help as you need to complete your book. You'll work directly with your ghostwriter to finish your book faster than you ever could on your own. It's easy to become a published author. Call Dorrance now to learn more. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. Call right now. That number is 800-485-6003.
Are you an active stock market investor? Well, then you know these three key words: buy, sell, hold. Those three magic words can make or lose you money in the stock market. What if we can show you a time-tested tool that's been helping stock market investors succeed for over 30 years? It's called VectorVest, an amazing system designed to make smart investing easy. The VectorVest system analyzes, sorts, and ranks over 19,000 stocks every day and tells you when to buy, what to buy, and when to sell any stock to maximize your profits in less than 10 minutes a day. And if you call right now, you can test drive our amazing VectorVest system risk-free for 30 days for just $9.95.
800-584-2519. 800-584-2519. 800-584-2519. That's 800-584-2519.
We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam, for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information, and then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-371-9608. That's 1-800-371-9608. Call 1-800-371-9608. Call now.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
The horns of the mighty Tower of Power, baby. Amazing horns. But guess what? Guess who's got a better horn section? East Bay Soul. Check them out. EastBaySoul.com. They are the best horn section all of funk right now. No doubt about it, of course. Greg Adams, one of the founding Tower of Power members, being the lead man there with East Bay Soul. Now, I would be remiss, and it's been taken to my attention here that we have not discussed what's gone on in boxing the past week. The fact that Maxim Dadashev and Hugo Santana both passed away. They were fighting like in different continents, but they both died, and you and I really didn't get into that too much, Johnny Sig. It's one of the unfortunate aspects of combat sports and sports in general.
Dark side of boxing, and our condolences, our heart goes out to both those young guys. Warriors, you know, they were in competitive fights, and there was really no sign. That's the scary part, is that, yeah, these guys were losing. In particular, Maxim Dadashev was trailing on the scorecards, but he was giving good effort and trying. He had capable people around him. Buddy McGirt, who I know on a personal level, is a very compassionate man, is very, very observant of his fighters. And unfortunately, we just didn't see it early enough. And Maxim, collapsed after the fight and never recovered. And my heart goes out to him and also the other young gentleman that passed.
Okay. So if a guy loses, if we're in a 10-round fight and the guy's lost five rounds, why can't we just stop the fight right then and there?
I agree, like a mercy rule. And, you know, what bothers me, not to make this controversial, I'll make it quick, is that after the fight, they were allowing Maxim to walk out on his own. I didn't like that. I felt a gurney was necessary because if you saw him between rounds, his eyes weren't good. And you got to have oxygen there, guys. Oxygen immediately to help the brain.
No doubt about that. The great son, John Signorello, of course. Johnny, tell him about the Ring Talk page.
Check us out. Type in Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check out today's show and other shows as well. Thank you, everyone. Enjoy your day.
The great Sean Signorella, folks, on Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Till next time, don't forget, this is your inside look in the world of combat sports, be it boxing or MMA. My name is Pedro Fernandez. 35 plus years now. 36 years in September. Ring Talk Live Worldwide has been often imitated but never duplicated. Saturdays and Sundays, 11 a.m. Pacific time, only on Sports Byline. Till next time, peace, love, and a ton of respect.